Morning, birds. We're right on time. I just feel like I have a new lease on life today. I don't know what it is. One thing is that it is a new month. That's right. In fact, we have the official pirate radio calendar here. Goodbye, February. Hello, March. Doesn't get any better than this. Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller has a birthday anniversary today. As we start things off, it is in fact a new month here. It's the 1st of March here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. 31 degrees as we go on the air this morning. Kind of a sunny day here. And lots of stuff for you today. Thanks for joining us this morning. At the top of the news, Johnson & Johnson, the single-shot COVID-19 vaccine is going to be arriving at healthcare providers this week. Supplies will be limited at first, but we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Paul here on the shoe. Iran rejected an offer to hold nuclear talks with the United States. The Islamic Nation wants to have guaranteed sanctions relief which the White House is not down with. Donald Trump, he just won't go away. Donald Trump hinted at a possible 2024 presidential run in his speech at a conservative conference over the weekend. I have the following prediction. By 2024, I don't think he's even going to know what year it is. Speaking of some things that have happened in recent history, in the final moments of Donald Trump's presidency amid a national shortage of N95 masks, you know what those are? The United States government granted an exception to its export ban on protective gear, allowing as many as 5 million of the masks a month to be shipped overseas. Did you know about this? I think we knew about it. We forgot, though, because those are in short supply. That's FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They issued that waiver. National Nurses United President Zeni Triunfo Cortez called the export waiver unconscionable. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, the Trump administration. And I hate it when there's a guy who's a billionaire that I never heard of. This fellow's name is Charlie Munger. Charlie Munger is a billionaire. Charlie Munger is Warren Buffett's right-hand man. He is the guy that sits there at the Berkshire Hathaway meetings and fields questions. So we think that he knows his stuff. Anyway, what about it? He had some bad things to say over the weekend about the economy. He said, "I think it must end badly, but I don't know when." He said the recent frenzy over GameStop's stock was driven by small investors gambling on the stock market. Aaron the News Bear and I have talked about that. In fact, I think we could maybe just illustrate the Munger said the recent frenzy, it's the kind of thing that can happen when you get a whole lot of people who are using liquid stock markets to gamble the way they would betting on racehorses. Munger said inexperienced investors are being lured into the market by newer brokerages like Robinhood that offer commission-free trading. You know, I'm thinking we should put some money together. Should we do it? I got a couple of bucks. I'm gonna sign up for Robinhood and see what happens here. Anyway, the frenzy is fed, Munger concluded, by people who are getting commissions and other revenue out of this new bunch of gamblers. That's right. All that stuff happened over the weekend here. Virginia became the 16th state to legalize marijuana. That's in the news today. And we're near a tipping point. Scientists are warning that the Atlantic Ocean's circulation is at its weakest in a millennium. That's from The Guardian this morning. And, oh, if I only have time to get to this from the Los Angeles Times, an official ranking of the best and worst Girl Scout cookies. If we only had time. Should we make time? We'll do it. Here's Brett Denon. I am aware, Johnny, yes, I am. I love the country. I want to run free. And I don't want to live up to anyone's plan. I want to feel the good vibes. And I want to feel the sunshine with you. By my side, I am a wild child, mama. You can hold me tight if you wanna, if you wanna hold me tonight. That's Brett Denon from Sparks Music of the Day file for us. At 13 after the hour, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. We've got a whole bunch of stuff this morning to do, still to come here. Aaron Mittens joins us, Aaron the News Baron, with, what is this? Another UFO sighting. I think we're calling it, it's not a UFO anymore, it's a UAP. Gonna get the scoop on that. That's coming up. We have live on tape of the Yellowstone Old Faithful geyser erupting for you this morning. In just moments, we are going to go live on live on tape and talk to our friend Dr. Paul. Stand by.
Going to school is a little different now. At school, Elmo wears his mask and stays apart from his friends.
Elmo?
Huh?
Today you're learning at home on the computer. You won't need your mask, son.
But Elmo wanted to see his teacher and his friends at school, Daddy.
I know, it's not the same, but you get to see them on video chat.
Yeah, okay. Elmo's gonna take off his mask.
Yeah, this year, some children are learning at home, some at school, and others are doing both. This learning transition can be tough on kids, but remember, when things get tough, take a slow, deep breath. It's gonna be okay. We want everyone to stay healthy and make sure our kids get a great education.
Oh, come on, Daddy. It's time for school at home.
Caring for each other because we are all in this together.
And we're here, I believe, with Dr. Paul. I'm gonna move the microphone over there if I could. Hand me that scalpel.
You want it?
Yeah. This is the Deepfoot project as we continue it. I wore the big floppy shoe that you gave me. And if I could get two of those, I could be doing children's parties and make balloon animals. But seriously, so in the vaccine news, as you and I are talking, they're probably going to approve this Johnson & Johnson.
Yep.
This one shot, which would be good. What about that?
I think it's going to be great for a lot of these vaccine skeptics. I think that the mRNA vaccines, I like them better. I actually think they might be safer, even though it's quote-unquote newer. But to all these people that are worried that their vaccine is going to alter their genes and that they're all this crazy, this is at least a vaccine that they're used to.
All right.
And it's one shot. It's going to be easier to distribute. It's got a lot of really good, important things for the public to accept.
Was this an unexpected timeline? Because it seemed like they kind of fast-tracked it. I mean, we would want them to, right?
Well, I think that of all the vaccines that are out there, this is the one that resembles most of the vaccines that we're used to, right? So they just needed to put the virus particle into what they've been doing for years with flu vaccines and everything else. So I don't know if it was necessarily that this one is so quick. What delayed them was in their studies, they had several kind of shutdowns at different times. So, I don't know if all of these vaccines hit the market way faster than they should have.
You're speaking domestically or around the world?
Domestically.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes more time to go through our process.
Speaking of the Pfizer vaccine, which up until yesterday had to be stored at the temperature that it basically is this on Pluto. Yesterday or today, it suddenly can be in your home freezer. Now, come on, what, Mr. Science, how did that happen?
Mr. Science. So, the Pfizer vaccine, the issue that you have with those vaccines, they're so new. And how that vaccine is manufactured, it takes originally it was taking, like, I think 110 days to make this vaccine. And every step of the way, there was another, you know, another component that was super fragile. And we had to be careful of this and be careful of that. So I think that when they're looking at the quality control and saying, I want to make sure that this is perfect, they're not going to take any risks. And so early on, the vaccine needs to be at this temperature, and we can only give it this many days apart, and it's all controlled, right? As time goes on, those things, you know, whether intentionally or inadvertently, start to happen. Oh, this freezer wasn't at the right temperature. Yeah. Well, is the vaccine still viable? Somebody's got to look and say, oh, wow, it is. Or, you know, these people went 30 days between, not 21, or these people got this vaccine, but we ran out, so we had to give them that vaccine. How effective was it? So these are things that are all going to be a work in progress. These aren't the companies deciding all of a sudden that we're going to change our protocols. They're just realizing that some of these other protocols work.
There's a whole chunk of people that I know personally that have gotten one but not two doses of the Pfizer.
Yeah.
Maybe the AstraZeneca, I don't know. And depending on who you talk to, it's got to be bang, the bell goes off, or a couple of weeks is fine, you know.
Yeah.
And that was unclear to me.
So that they're finding that even one dose is pretty protective.
Is it?
Yep.
And this is the Pfizer one.
Well, even the Moderna one dose showed to be pretty effective.
Okay.
And that even when they spread out the doses longer than they had anticipated, it doesn't seem to reduce efficacy, which is really raising an issue of my mother got her appointment canceled yesterday because they didn't have enough vaccines where she was going.
I had to cut the line. I'm sorry about that. Tell her I'm really.
No.
I'll make it after her. Honestly,
the funny part is they told her that because they are limited on the vaccines, they had to make sure that they had enough for the second doses. So they couldn't give out any more firsts. And, you know, I think about that and I say, okay, well, what's the better strategy? Is the better strategy to get everybody a first and give them partial or three quarters of the way there versus getting people all the way with the second? And I'm not sure we know the answer, but if I'm a public health official, I think I would take 75% of, you know, twice as many people.
And a lot of us wish that you were.
You know, wow. Well.
At this point. It's bad enough with the vaccine deniers, all right? But when you say to somebody of any age, hey, get ready, we're going to go make sure that, and well, hang on. And that's, you know, that's happening all over. So
I have a very close friend.
Yeah.
He is a holistic cardiologist. He spends his time trying to get people off of all the medicines that all the other cardiologists have put him on through lifestyle changes and things like that.
He treats the heart, the whole heart.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And he is very much against most vaccines. And him and I had a very healthy conversation about these vaccines. And even he had to admit that these messenger RNA vaccines are the cleanest vaccine he's ever seen.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't think it's a lot of, you know, kumbaya, let's all go get a vaccine. I think that this is something, it's really remarkable what technology has done. This isn't a new technology in the sense of we've never used messenger RNA before, because immunotherapy for cancer has been used for a while. But it's novel that we're going to give it to you for a virus. A virus that incidentally uses your genetic material to replicate anyways. So, you know, why not take advantage of a particle of your genetic material, not altering your genes, can't alter your genes at all, to make proteins that help you fight a virus.
This is, you sound optimistic.
I'm hopeful.
All right, let's break quickly and we'll come back and wrap this. This is Dr. Paul and we'll be right back.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance. to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
So, I guess I would be remiss in not being honest. I haven't been vaccinated yet, and I want to. I'm not a denier, all right? But I think that there are people that are, for example, I just thought, well, the Johnson & Johnson, that sounds great. I'll just wait. Is there going to be an onslaught of, because the stuff from the county, all due respect, is dribbling through from right. Cook County. Are we, and the Biden administration says they've purchased enough to get everybody vaccinated by July.
I would think.
But that's the quantity of stuff.
Right.
Not the mechanism to do
but,
it.
But, right? But, you know, unlike, let's say, Pfizer or Moderna, even worse, they don't really have a distribution chain to the extent that a Johnson & Johnson does, right? I mean, Johnson & Johnson has distribution for everything.
Not because just they make all these baby powder.
Right, okay. I mean, not just medicine, right? Yeah, okay. So, I mean, they have a huge distribution chain. They have the ability to manufacture a single dose vaccine, you know, that doesn't require us to create DNA strands of a virus and then preserve it and transfer. I mean, their big breakthrough for Pfizer is that they're going to go down from 110 days to like 60 something days to manufacture one dose. I mean, so you're talking about something that can be made quicker, that can be distributed better, and only requires one dose. Even if it's a little less effective, I can't see how we couldn't vaccinate everybody.
I'm in.
I really just don't. I mean, other than people that are going to refuse the vaccine. And this vaccine, you know, it's going to be more along the lines of all the anti-vaxxers. And those are going to exist. And that's, you know, that's a different debate. But, you know, anybody that wants this vaccine should be able to get this vaccine by the summer.
Can I drop your name?
Sure. See if it gets it as fast as my parents.
This COVID is eventually going to be over, right? I mean,
so I'm not as optimistic about that.
Yeah.
And the reason
let me rephrase my question. The strain is permanent, probably, in the environment. I know that.
No. Even with these mutations and everything. Let's say that we're doing a great job vaccinating, okay? And everybody's doing their job social distancing, and everybody's wearing masks. Polio vaccine's been around for a long time. We haven't gotten rid of polio yet.
Exactly, and it's back, actually.
You know, and with the anti-vax movements, and with certain countries not having enough money to vaccinate, we see viruses, you know, propagate. So this virus is not going to disappear from the planet, unfortunately, because we're going to, you know, we could talk about what we're going to do in the short term with the United States, but are we going to then start vaccinating every other country, every third world country, where these things are going to continue to mutate and continue to be a problem? And so, you know, we have something that's extremely contagious that is going to be, you know, possibly endemic around this world.
The Cubs opened today.
Did they?
I think. Dr. Paul, our best to your family.
Thank you.
I have to go check my stock portfolio. I bought Johnson & Johnson along with GameStop. It was a package.
Did you get it on Robinhood?
I did. I'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Roger Daltrey's birthday. Of the Who, it's half past the hour exactly. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago on a Monday morning, and this is a good one. This is the 1st of March as we get a little bit of a new lease on life. I guess it depends on your attitude, but I'm feeling pretty optimistic. Dr. Paul is, what a good guy, you know, what a good guy. He's a scientist. You know what? When I spend some time chatting with people who know what they're doing, I feel better about everything that's sort of transpired. So, yeah. So that's going on. You know what? Let's do something quick. I am always anxious to share the following story with you. And here we go. Let's do a visual thing. Let's you're somewhere, you're looking for a restroom, all right? You're standing, oh, you see the sign. It's the sign, it's the silhouette of the man next to the silhouette of the woman, and she's got a skirt and he's got a suit on. Or, wait a minute, you'd like to quit smoking, but you've got to have a cigarette. Whoa, you can't do it here, because there's that sign with a cigarette and a red line through it. You know what? Tell you what. I'm gonna have a drink. So there's the sign with the martini glass with the little olive. Okay, you with me? What? These signs were all thought up by a human being. His name was Raji Cook. He passed away. He was 90 years old. Those are all pictographs. And I bring that up because, you know, it's always, I think it's notable to me, someone thought everything up that there is. And if you weren't there at the beginning, well, the page was blank, and I just thought that this was a very interesting thing to share with you. Yeah, there were 34 pictographs originally commissioned, you know, for airports, public areas, stuff like that. So anyway, yeah, that's the deal. And I'm looking at my favorite. I think, and some of these really are just, you don't know what they were trying to indicate. There's a little bit of a notes on how they sort of fine tune some of these signs. Lower body out of proportion with trunk. Is arm necessary? Yes, arm necessary to indicate that figure is not bowing. There you go. Job well done. Rest in peace, Roger Cook. We will be right back after this.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
And you know how she found the restroom at the gas station? It was one of those little signs. You know, my favorites are the ones where you see the red cross through it, but you can't figure out what exactly is prohibited. So, yeah, all right. What else? Today is the day in 1869. I wish this hobby would come back. I used to collect stamps. This is the first time that they had postage stamps with scenes on them. They had a post horse and a rider and a locomotive and a shield. So all that on this day in 1869. And in 1872, Yellowstone became the world's first national park. I think we're going to go see what's cooking with Old Faithful. What do we got here? All right. And people around here, they're clicking their cameras. You can hear that. Ah, here it comes. Yeah, stand. Whoa! It's coming our way. Oh! Oh! Bravo! Thank you. Called American Patrol. That's Glenn Miller from the last war. Well, not exactly the last war, but from a war pretty long time ago. Speaking of, at 20 before the hour here, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. Aaron the News Baron and I have formed a couple of bands since we've been together here. Morning, Aaron. Aaron is, he's a bass player in Giant, Metamorphosizing Worms. And then we had the COVID sniffing dogs. But this morning, Aaron is happy to announce that he is the bass player in a new band called Power Grid Warriors. Isn't that right, Aaron? Wait a minute, hang on. I got so full of myself, I forgot to plug you in. And I mean that in a nice way. Power Grid Warriors. We're going to talk about China and India. Is that right?
Yes. Power Grid Warriors. First Texas. Now we got China and India going at it.
So what happened over there? I know what happened in Texas. What happened in China and India? Go ahead.
Yeah, so to give a little bit of context on why this is happening now, there were skirmishes on the India-China border last year in the Himalayas, on the remote Galwan Valley, where troops were basically bashing each other to death with rocks and clubs because sending an actual shot with a gun sends a different type of message. So I guess the government thought it was okay to just kill each other with clubs and rocks.
Wait, I'll let you roll. I'm going to come back to that, though. So, okay. All right, I got it. Okay, so I understand so far.
Now we have 20 million residents in Mumbai who are without power. And this appears to be a warning shot from India or from China telling India to discontinue these border skirmishes or risk losing power across the entire country. A recent study showed that as the standoff continued in the Himalayas, at least 24 lives were stolen. And in that time, Chinese malware was flowing into the control systems that manage electric power supply across India, along with high voltage transmitter stations and coal-fired power plants. So as this was going on, China was kind of making their initial move, slipping in some malware. Now they're starting to take action by shutting down a power from Mumbai.
You know, I think of the Himalayas. I'm like up there with the Dalai Lama, right? And we don't think about a hair dryer. Or whatever, right. Whatever one plugs in, but apparently that is the case. Jeez, it's Power Grid Month. It seems
it is. It seems to be.
So they speaking of, I guess a similar story here. Solar Winds, SolarWinds is that outfit, I think, in Texas that were involved in this massive hack of American government stuff. But they found the person they found the person responsible, we think. What is that about?
Well, in a joint hearing on Friday, the former CEO Kevin Thompson of SolarWinds told representatives of the House Oversight Committee and the Homeland Security Committee that an intern used the password, quote, SolarWinds123 with no caps and no spaces. SolarWinds123 to protect the servers that the company used.
Skippy, come in here. What is this? Good. It's always an intern.
Well,
they're the first. No, I mean, they're the first. They're the first people on the carpet. Wow, SolarWinds123.
Yes.
And that is really what happened here. I'm.
And this is funny because it'll be one thing if they just hired an intern in, you know, July or something.
Yeah.
He made SolarWinds123 as the password.
Yeah.
Apparently, at the very least, this was the password in 2018. Although it could have been before then, where this is the password being used.
So at least 3 years now. I have an online thing where I get my my horoscope, and the password is horoscope, and it tells me every once in a while. You know, that's an easy one to duplicate. You want to change it, but I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's all relative. Wow, that is something. So, but. The moment we've been waiting for, I understand that there is another, we don't want to say UFO, we want to say unidentified, what is it, aerial projectile?
Is that aerial phenomenon.
Aerial phenomenon, okay. Do we have another one of those?
We have another one.
All right, tell me what we're going to hear here.
My finger is on the
ripcord, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is another one that happened to be recorded. It was a blogger named Steve Douglas. He intercepted this transmission on accident. He was actually looking to pick up air traffic from another aircraft. So you're going to hear really quick American Airlines Flight 2292 speaking about what he saw over his overhead.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that... I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing, moving really fast. It went right over the top of us.
Did you? You could hear that pretty, somewhat faintly, but he said it was a long cylindrical object. Is that right?
Yes.
Looked like a cruise missile. Oh, again, when did this happen?
This happened according to the FAA. I'll just read you the entire statement
they
released after this. Quote, a pilot reported seeing an object over New Mexico shortly after noon local time on Sunday, February 21st, 2021. FAA air traffic controllers did not see any objects in the area on our radar scopes. Sorry. So they apparently saw nothing on radar. And at the beginning of the recording, I heard the pilot say, do you have anything up here on your screens? And then he goes on to describe what he's saying.
This is... so it was a week ago Sunday.
Yes.
And so let me get this straight. So the guy looks and he doesn't see any, he sees this thing and he calls and says, do you have anything on the radar? And they say, no, nothing on the radar.
Yes. So there are two options here, as I see it. I could be wrong here. One option, this is some strange UFO, either man-made or otherwise, that we'd have no clue what it is. Or it was a freaking cruise missile flying over the continental United States of America, over New Mexico,
yeah,
without being picked up on radar.
You think?
So, I don't know which one is the better option.
I know. You know, in fact, let me just... That one I've got. Let me see if this would go missed, Aaron. No, I think someone would have spotted that. You think?
You would think so.
That is a...
So the person who saw this on the radio scanner, he was using free open source sights Flight Radar 24 or Flight Aware.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw this, quote, over the corner of New Mexico, west of Clayton, New Mexico, an altitude of 37,000 feet. So they were pretty high, probably at the max altitude that this airplane, that normal passenger airplanes can go at. And it flew above him at high speeds. And he called into the FAA. They said they saw nothing on radar. That is the one part that's very, very key. He saw a cruise missile shaped object that wasn't picked up on radar.
Let me see if I can tune it. I'm going to see if I can tune it up a little bit. Turn it up. Let's hear him one more time. So this is a week ago Sunday. Here we go.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say, this looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing, moving really fast, that went right over the top of us.
It's always like a cigar cruise missile. We're no longer in the flying saucer era.
Right.
These are all cylindrical. Wow. What do you make of all this? Are we now seeing this is almost like 1947 again.
Yes.
And these pilots, unlike 1947, when I think they were kind of censored, you know, don't say anything about that. Apparently, right, they're free right. to talk now. So this guy that we just heard was an American Airlines pilot.
Right. So we're at an interesting point, primarily because you would have a time where you would have a pilot saying, I saw something in the sky that I could not identify, but it wasn't a UFO. Because UFO is no longer something you can identify. It's now it's an alien coming from outer space.
Yeah.
So I think now it's interesting that we have the vocabulary and the awareness where we can just start pointing out things in the sky that we're seeing that we can't identify, and now we can actually do research on it. And I think a lot of the problems that we can't research a tree when you don't even know what bark is. So we're starting to get the fundamentals up, and now we're trying to get it ahead on.
You know, you say the most, I don't know what the word is, appropriate things. I just wrote that down. The tree bark. Gee, wow. You know, you ought to be on the radio.
I steal most of the stuff from people who I hear online, but I'll take credit for it.
This is Aaron Mittens, Aaron the News Baron. Hey, before I let you around, let me reach over here. Let's see here. I know that this is an unfamiliar sound to, with all due respect, people your age. These are newspaper clippings. I got some newspapers over the weekend. A couple of things here. I did mention that Costco is, or I don't think I did mention that. Costco is going to, they're going, their minimum wage is up to $16 an hour, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And we had, and I think, who else is in the other big box stores are up there, but Walmart's like $11 an hour. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm just I'm zipping through here. Okay, here's what I wanted to get to here. The New York Manhattan District Attorney got President Trump's tax records. You knew that, and we don't have them yet. I don't know if we'll be able to see them or not. There's an article here from the Associated Press. You know what subheads are, Aaron? I know you do. Subheads are the little headlines within an article that kind of break it up typographically. So the subheads, we don't have time for the whole article. The subheads are more than just returns. And it says that, and this is cool because not only there are the returns there, which could mean anything, they have the drafts of the returns. Now that you want to see, right?
Right.
You want to see? Right, okay. So that's the first subhead, more than just returns. The second one is hush money. Do you remember, what was her name? Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, Stormy.
That's right, Stormy. All right, so she's in there. It isn't clear, though, whether his tax records will add much. That part of the probe. All right, then the third subhead is tax breaks. The DA's office has been investigating some of the arrangements Trump made to reduce his tax bill, which was nothing, right? And he, mm-hmm. you know, you and I paid a lot more than he did, probably.
I think it was $770-something.
Oh, man.
Elon, I need to get in touch with my tax man. It's I know. Crazy.
Elon Musk has that in his wallet. What are we? Come on, this is. All right, and then finally, this is the best. This is the best subhead: statements to lenders, and they should have a picture of like Pinocchio with the nose.
Right.
Vance's office hasn't disclosed the full nature of the inquiry, but in court filings, prosecutors have pointed to news articles that question whether Trump had chronically exaggerated the value of his assets to banks. So they mention here in this article I'm reading from the Associated Press, Deutsche Bank, if you don't know about Deutsche Bank, Deutsche yes. Bank is the last entity on the globe that lent any money to these people. So, yeah. All right, so we have the, I'll tell you, okay. Monday's ruling does not ensure the public will see Trump's financial records. They're protected by grand jury secrecy rules, but I don't know. He's running again, Aaron. We can't get rid of him. What about it?
Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I love it.
Do you?
Well, we have bad news and good news. Bad news, he said he's not going to start another party. He said that outright in his speech, which yeah. is, I would have loved for that to happen, but okay, let's keep the Republican Party together, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's going to run?
Yeah.
He hasn't won the popular vote once. He had less votes than Mitt Romney. Come on, let him go.
I know. I agree. All right. He's the man that just won't go away. And then finally, Aaron, I like this. The New York Times, we should get into this a little bit. The New York Times this weekend has an article in Sunday Styles. Okay, Sunday Styles, that's like not hard news. That's like mm-hmm. you get Sunday Review. You know, the shootings are in sports now. But Sunday Styles, Sunday is the light stuff. In Sunday Styles, there's an article called The Season of the Snitch. It's all about how people are... They're investigating each other. It talks about how when, like, Ted Cruz went up to Canada and, like, it, within an hour, people, oh, yeah, I got a picture of him. So there's that in here. The hotlines that the FBI opened up on the heels of the riot, they received more than 200,000 tips. Several people even turned in their own parents. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, my dad voted for Trump. I don't know.
This person's quoted, I slept on it, and then the next morning I made a post on Facebook calling out my mother's behavior. Have a good week.
Family values mean nothing these days.
For Aaron Mittens and Gary Lee Wright, this widecast was produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.